and Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
Know someone who would make a great disability support worker? Employ them through Carer Solutions.
It's going to be a deep and meaningful one today, kids.
All right. Unfortunate. Hello, we're here for the podcast. Let's go.
You don't want it deep and meaningful?
It can be whatever you want it to be. It's the podcast. It's the beauty of the podcast.
Perfect. So I haven't spoken about it at all on air, but I'm staying with my grandma. And
who?
Wait, what's a grandma? So it's been really lovely because I haven't really spent any time with my grandma outside of big family events because we're a big family. At Christmas Eve, big Latvian family, Christmas Eve, 70 people.
70, that's awesome.
70 people,
that's why I want to have like 50,000 kids.
Okay, interesting. I feel sorry for whoever you have these children with because her body is going to be a mess.
No, I'll have 70,000 wives.
Okay, you're going to do an Elon Musk situation.
Absolutely.
Love that for you. So usually when I see my grandma, it's like Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, all the family's around, you know, you in passing, hey, how are you? But I'm not sure she even knew what I did for a job. Like, she had no idea about, like, who I am as a person. And also...
She's more of a podcaster than a radio person.
Must be.
Yeah.
Also, when I was younger, there was, you know, some tensions in the family and I had a bit of an attitude, which I'm sure surprises everyone. And I think that kind of clouded our relationship because I think she just kind of thought that that's who I was. And obviously you grow and you learn and you become, you know, a different version of yourself or at least a fully formed version of yourself. And I like to think I'm more, you know, reasonable than a moody teenager, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's been a really nice moment to like get to know my grandma and we both had dinner. We went out to dinner last night. I took her on a bit of a you know, grandma date night. And we were sitting there chatting and I said, oh my gosh, like the family is going to be so surprised at Christmas time when we walk in arm like besties because no one would have ever expected that.
Sure.
Because, you know, of all the grandchildren, I'm probably like the least close to her. At least I was.
Okay.
And so it's really fun and nice. And she was like, yeah, well, I can't wait till you can tell them that I'm not actually that, you know, much of a fusser and I don't really stress that much because like, she hasn't actually been that much of a fuss or stressing that much at all. So
that's her reputation?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's right. Like, oh, Ma's going to lose it. Like, she's really fussy and blah, blah, blah. She cried one Christmas. I think that really, that was her thing. Now that's the,
yeah,
you know.
If you have a meltdown at an event, that sort of, that will brand you.
Yeah, so she's been branded with that brush and I've been branded with like, you know, too cool for school, bit of an attitude kind of person.
Yeah.
Which is just not who I am. But certainly it was when I was younger.
A teenager or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's how I've been. So it was really nice of us to both be like, we're going to myth bust with the family on Christmas. How exciting.
Look, we've got a makeover and it's our personalities.
Yes. Oh,
that's a bit of fun.
Yeah. And the other thing is I went to my auntie and uncle's house yesterday and also had like really great D&Ms with my auntie and my cousin. And it's just, it's been a very weird realization for me this time here.
Yeah, you don't really get to have those with adults.
No, and certainly not adult family members that aren't like your parents, but even then you're probably not having like real D&Ms with them because you're not giving them everything because they're your parents.
That's interesting. You don't have to go into it if you don't want, but what was those ones about? Just like
family dynamics.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. I've had similar ones recently.
Yeah, and I think it's so fascinating. It's really nice to connect with, family members on an adult level. But this is this whole story brings me to the big realization that I had, which is, I used to always say, like, F family.
Oh, okay.
Like, family's so dumb conceptually because why do we have to care about people just because they're related to us? They could be shit. And if they're shit, I wouldn't have shit friends. So why would I put up with shit family?
Fair.
Right?
Okay.
And I've always been like that. And I've always said, like, oh, I'm not really close to my family. Like, whatever. I couldn't give two Fs.
Sure.
But now I'm kind of like, holy shit, maybe it's just I didn't give it, you know, the time and the space or ever have the opportunity to have the time and the space to like get to know them properly.
Yeah, it just takes a catalyst, doesn't it? Just like one thing. My version of that was because I was never like F family, like, you know, like I always mostly liked my family.
Yeah.
But I had like in my early 20s, actually I got two things for you. One, why I'm close with my family now largely was – pre-pandemic, I was living in Queensland, but then because of the pandemic, locking out borders, and I just didn't see my family for like genuinely for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And that made me very much be like, oh.
I missed that.
This is important. Mm-hmm. But when I reckon, I don't know how old I would have been. Maybe I was like 19 or 20. It was like early stages of uni, and I was just like a real shithead. Mm. Like, just I didn't want to be at uni. I wasn't really happy with whatever I was doing at the time, clearly, but didn't have like any like aims or goals necessarily. Mm. And I remember I was obviously just difficult at home. And I remember, like, for whatever reason, being like, ah, oh, fuck this at some stage. I think at family dinner, not family dinner, but like at something, I went to my room. And then dad came in my room and was like, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was along the lines of like, hey, because I had obviously like blown up at him. Mm. And he's like, hey, I get that, you know, maybe you and I aren't destined to have like a proper relationship as a father and a son, but whoa, you know, you can't be like that at home. Like, you know, you're obviously entitled to your feelings and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're allowed to feel that way, but you know, you've got to be respectful to your mother and to your siblings.
Yeah.
And he's like, and you know, we don't have to get along, wow, by any means, but you just, you know, you can't be like that. And he's like, and so like, if, you know, if it ends up being like a, you know, we don't talk once you leave, that's you know, so be it. Like, obviously that's not great for either of us, but like,
it is what it is.
But it is what, and like, but he's like, but like, while you're here, you know, you can't be like that. Mm. And I remember at the time just being like, it was like this, like, I got struck by lightning, because it was like, my dad is not an emotionally, mm, like, intelligent person, I don't think.
Mm.
Like, and it was, that was the most like, and even since, that's like the most like profound, emotionally profound thing, mm, we've ever, in, mm, that, in that instant, in that very instant, I like rebuilt my relationship with my dad.
Mm.
And now we have like, we're incredibly close.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very strange to have that, those moments as adults, don't you reckon?
Well, I guess what that moment did for you, I'm no psychologist, but I guess what that moment did for you was make you realize that there is a choice,
mm,
and that would be a choice that you're making to not be close with your dad and not have that relationship, oh, with, yeah, your dad. And that is something that terrified you, because you were like, holy shit. One, I probably didn't even know that was a possibility. And two, mm, holy, I don't want that. I don't want that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. I don't speak to my dad. So, yeah, my biological dad. So,
well, he, you know, he might come into your bedroom one day and have the exact same. Unlikely.
No, certainly. Certainly. Very unlikely.
If he came into your bedroom like that, you'd be like, whoa, what are you doing?
Who are you?
Get very,
very unlikely, but a completely different situation, because, mm, that is for the best.
I'm very thankful that dad said that.
Yeah.
No idea, like, really, like, because it's like, if you know my dad, mm, which really the only people listening to this, maybe my siblings would know him. It's very out of character for my dad to be that profoundly raw in regards to stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's probably done it a couple of times in life where I've been like, oh, that was, you know, showing, you know, an emotional side. And, mm, I was like, wow. At the time, I you know, it was just like a serious conversation. I was like, oh, that sucks. But now looking back, I'm like, wow, that's really, really glad that you said that, Dad, because.
Well, it could have been a completely different path, right?
Yes, I don't know. Like, you know, yeah, might have moved out, never seen, mm, anyone again. Mm. Who knows what life would have been like?
Yeah, so wild.
Sliding doors.
Seriously interesting kind of self-discovery and, yeah. Yeah, it's been a really interesting. And the other thing that I've learned while I've been here as well, obviously all this family stuff, but, which honestly is mind blowing to me, because I just never thought that I would feel the way that I feel right now. Like, if you had,
that's
asked
so nice,
me,
isn't that? That's also, yeah,
yeah.
It's a very similar concept to, this will sound really stupid, but off air before we were, after the show, we were talking about ice cream flavors.
Mm.
That's like trying things that you just never knew that you could be and you could enjoy.
Yeah.
Look at you. This is the ice cream flavor of family dynamics and,
yeah,
relationships.
Yeah, totally. This is me trying pistachio and potentially liking
it. Loving pistachio.
It actually has been just a really, mm, fulfilling time for me. Emotionally and in a familial way as well. But the other thing is, I realized, you know, we get so caught up. This is, I guess, again, a peek behind the curtain, but we get so caught up in the radio world with like where we're going to go and what we're going to do next and how, you know, this opportunity will, you know, spark the next and, mm, where that will take you. And you're always kind of like looking for the next thing. And,
yeah. Because unless you're in a very, in like maybe 1-2% of jobs in this industry, mm, most people are not happy with where they are.
Exactly. And so, you know, we get so caught up in the like, well, what can I do to make this better and, you know, fast track, expedite this process, yeah, right? And I was driving here at, you know, about 4:30 yesterday in the morning, and it was dark, maybe one truck on the road, and I, you know, just with my thoughts. And I thought to myself, you know what? Even if nothing comes of this fill-in stint,
mm,
one thing that I can profoundly, honestly, and genuinely say is, no matter what happens career-wise, no matter what happens in every other asset of this situation.
Yeah, is that Mel took us out to breakfast that time?
Yes. No, is that I've built this relationship with my grandma and I've strengthened these relationships with my other family members.
Do you think you'll see her a lot, like a bit once you're leaving?
Well, see, I'm already thinking like, I would never have thought this before, but I'm already thinking my partner and I are planning a trip up the East Coast. And I'm thinking on the way back, because we went to this delicious restaurant last night and I'm like, oh my gosh, I would love to go there again. I'm thinking on the way back, we stay one night with her and we go to this restaurant.
Absolutely.
And that's something I would never have thought about. I would have been like, get me as far away from here as possible.
That's so strange.
I know. It's so crazy.
It's so nice to be able to be like, isn't emotional maturity good? I really only feel like I've discovered it in the last like year, but it's been nice.
Yeah, totally. But I also think you're always growing and learning.
Yeah.
Like I probably right now and in my mind, I'm like, I sound so wise right now, but in 6 months' time, I'm sure I'll learn another lesson. And in 10 years' time, I'm sure I'll have learned countless lessons, you know?
So tell you my thing that I've learned in the last, this is my life lesson that I'm imparting. And I think this is easier said than done, but I've started doing it this year. But is to be like when it comes to like maybe you're like not necessarily relationships, but like
interpersonal relationships.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yep. When it comes to those sorts of things, and sometimes the uncomfortable stuff of like maybe you do have beef, so to speak, with someone, or like sort of feuds or whatever. Or things are uncomfortable. I don't know any issues. Is I've been at my last 12 months have been approach them with 100% sincerity and honesty and admit that I have no idea what's going on and exactly how I feel and acknowledge that I'm possibly wrong and just hope for the best. Because at the very least, then I've done everything that I can. Because I did that when I did that the very first time when I broke up with a girlfriend late last year, and I was just like, hey, here's all my full cards on the table, and I've never done that before. And I was like, and obviously didn't go terribly well because I'm here, but since then, I've done like full cards on the table every time I've had to for certain things. Mm. And I'm like, well, at least that's it. At least that's all I can do. I didn't need to hide behind this guise of like masculinity or something, or this guise of radio dude or any of that bullshit. Yeah.
What cool guises you have.
I have such cool guises.
You're a cool guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I think that's really cool. I've always said that about relationships as well, like interpersonal relationships. Just be honest. Like, but it's better for everyone. Like, I think that as soon as you start, like, being like, oh, no, I won't say that because, you know, one, I don't want to hurt their feelings, or two, I'm not sure how it'll go or whatever. The more honest you can be, obviously, yeah, sure, it is easier said than done, but the more honest you can be, the better your outcome's going to be, because then there's nothing, it's not like you can say, the other person can say, oh, well, I didn't know you felt that way. It's like, well, I actually really explicitly told you this is exactly how I feel.
Absolutely.
Do it when you can.
Yep, do it when you can.
Yeah.
As often as you can.
Yes. And hey, family, pretty cool.
Hey, good. Because this has been a semi-more serious podcast than usual, should we end it on a lighter note?
Sure.
Because I was thinking maybe is there like a bombshell, like a drop, like more about me that you don't know about me?
Okay, sure.
I'm just trying to think. Is there an
area? Oh, no, wait. I know what we could do.
Okay.
You could do a rap.
Oh, that's not happening. Absolutely, that's not happening off the back of yesterday's podcast.
Okay.
Is there an area of my life that I could like, trying, because we talked about how there's layers to me that I've.
I'm pretty sure I know everything about you now.
Interesting.
Like, what can I list about you?
Well, the thing is,
when I started the tenure filling in for Jules.
Yeah,
we were all on air together, all three of us, and I said there are three things I know about Nick. He always has bananas. He loves bananas.
Mm.
Two, he can't smell.
Yeah,
and three. I can't remember what the third one even was.
Small bladder?
Maybe possibly. Small bladder.
Which I should say, all those three things haven't really cropped up too much.
Yeah, that's crazy. You stopped eating as many bananas. Like, you really basically stopped bananas.
100% cut out bananas.
You're a changed man.
Yeah, I was actually looking into the nutrition of bananas and was like, I'm not stoked with what I see here. And also I'm being a bit more conservative with the calories, and I'm like, that would be better spent elsewhere.
Yeah,
I don't think I got enough satisfaction from bananas.
All right, well, there you go. I know you have the same omelette.
That's
and it's to the gram.
Absolutely.
I know you.
I wish I had something interesting I could tell you.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Do I have a What's my?
It has to be funny, though. You said.
Yeah, it has to be funny. I feel like.
I feel like most of the revelations. Would you
like
that I
to know? Would you,
you
like to know about this? This is, which is like a funny. Just a funny P-based story.
Totally.
Have I told you about the Maximus bottle?
No.
So that
don't yeah. say you pee in a Maximus bottle.
So can I tell you the context?
Oh my gosh, Nick.
So I used because I've had the small bladder thing for like, you know, years.
And did you live in a house without a toilet?
No, I had a
then
toilet.
What the hell?
No, let me explain.
Okay.
Is because whenever so I would have like
I can't believe you're saying this out loud. Okay,
no, yeah. This is fine.
Okay.
I think.
I'm
fairly sure I've spoken about this in a public setting previous, but it's also the podcast. So there's like a smaller group of people that are here.
Yeah.
So lucky you, podcaster. When I was, because the small bladder thing, I would get up several times a night to pee, whatever. But I got really conscious of it when I would have like a girl stay over potentially, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I'd be like, oh, I could like once, maybe twice. But if I had to go any more than that, I would start to get really self-conscious about it.
Okay.
So what would happen is I'd pee once, and then if she got to pee later on, I still had to go. Rather than while she was out of the room, I would quickly go and get a Maximus bottle and would pee into that.
Oh my gosh. I'll laugh just so that it's a funny thing. But in reality, I have so many like serious things to say to that.
Prior to the Maximus bottle, because this was in a like an old Queenslander house.
Uh-huh.
It was like on like up on stilts.
Yeah.
So what I would, because I also had, so my room had two doors. One was the door to the house and the one was like to the balcony.
Uh-huh.
So before realizing that I could just pee into a bottle, I would go and pee off the balcony in the middle of the night. Okay, when the girl was in a different room.
So many follow-up questions. What did you do with the bottle?
I emptied it out.
Like every morning or whatever?
Yeah.
And also, like, not to bring it back to being serious, but like, people with small bladders are cool too. Like, you don't need to be ashamed of needing to go to the pee.
Oh, it was just inconvenient.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. It's something.
It certainly is something. I'll give you that.
Undeniably something.
It sure is.
And I've got a million or more stories from that house. All right, that's the podcast. Weird one. Tomorrow's the last one.
Thankfully.
All right, bye. I'm going to take you right now to Mexico. In the last 24 hours, they had a parliamentary meeting, a hearing. They've been in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't know what Congress means. Is that just what they refer to as parliament?
Yep.
We barely comment on our own political landscape, let alone Mexico's.
Exactly, though.
But all their politicians, and they've had sort of a public hearing. And a world first has been presented at this public hearing by a journalist and a UFOologist who has presented two aliens. Everyone meeting there in the Congress.
Confirmed aliens?
So this UFOologist and this scientist, like he's an actual scientist. UFOologist does make it sound like he's an insane person.
Definitely.
But he displayed to all the politicians and everyone at this public hearing yesterday in Mexico two corpses that are non-human. You can Google these and they're worth having a look at because they do look like, they look a lot like one of our friends.
E.T. Awesome.
Yeah, they look a lot like a little version of E.T.
Okay, I am looking at it. So it's like a small, thin... It honestly, arguably, looks exactly what you would like. How you would think an alien would look?
Absolutely, it looks like up to your knee. They're fossilized because they've been found. We've had them. They got discovered in Peru in 2017. These alien corpses, apparently, they've only just gotten around to presenting them. I guess they misplaced them for a few years,
or maybe they had to do some like checks.
Well, they did do some checks, and they've figured out that they're real. Like they were alive. Whatever these things are, at some point. And they 30% of the DNA cannot be traced to anything that we've ever recorded, apparently.
Whoa.
The rest of them is like, you know, some level of organic matter because it has to exist. But we don't know what 30% of them are made up of. These like little alien bodies that have been presented in Mexico. I gotta say, for the last 12 months, it's a good time to be alive if you believe in aliens.
I think, yeah.
Between the Tom DeLonge stuff. You know, talking to the US government about all the UFO sightings there and all these little bits and pieces that are popping up, you're seeming less crazy if you've seen an alien at the moment, which is just incredible news. These things look like
they look like rocks.
Uh-huh.
Like it doesn't, they're very, very fossilized.
I'm like, my mind is being blown right now.
Yeah. Here's the thing that they weren't, this is the bit that I don't quite understand. We're not scientists, shockingly. So might not.
We say it a lot here, but we aren't scientists.
Yeah. They were not, it's not like they came out of the sky or anything. They were found in like a cave, like really deep below the earth in like salt mines.
But maybe that's why alien sightings like haven't been verified as often as we'd like, because actually they're not coming from the sky.
They're inside, they're home bodies.
I don't know. Maybe.
They refuse to get out.
Maybe.
They don't like the sun.
E.T. was always phoning home. So maybe.
He was looking for a lift. He's like, I'm not stoked being outside. Can you come get me, Mum?
I've got your cheat sheet for the MTV VMAs this morning.
Massive award night in the music world.
So as you're heading into work today or you're, you know, in the lunchroom having chats and you think to yourself, goodness me, I don't know anything about what happened at the VMAs. Don't worry. I've got you covered. I've got a few things that you can kind of go, touch on that. Look like I watched it. Touched on that. I'm really up to date.
All of a sudden, someone knows what's going on in pop culture. Hello.
Exactly. So things you need to know. Swift sweep. Taylor Swift has won multiple awards, pretty much all the big ones, best song, best artist, et cetera, et cetera. So you can just be like, whoa, those Swifties, they must be really happy today. Correct. You've nailed it.
You can say something better than that. You know,
but you know, workshop it on your own, absolutely. But I've given you the basic fact. Shakira, a lot of people are kind of shading Shakira, saying that she was lip syncing. So it's highly likely that Shakira was lip syncing a three-song medley.
Okay, that's fine to me. I actually don't really care if people lip sync. Like, if I pay to go see it, but these are other celebrities, VMAs, like, you know, get over yourselves. Who cares?
Also, to be honest, Shakira, I mean, her hips don't lie. It's more about the dancing from Shakira, to be honest.
Her lips lie, though.
Her lips are big lies.
She doesn't say anything about the lips.
Selena Gomez, she's been made into multiple memes.
Already?
Yes.
The internet's quick, isn't it?
She's got a very expressive face, and so, you know, Twitter's gone off, X has gone off with a bunch of Selena memes. Mm. Selena's actually come out on an Instagram story and said, hey, I'm just going to sit still from now on and not make any facial gestures because I'm getting a bit over these memes being made about me.
And even then, that will become made into a meme, Selena, so just watch out.
So some kind of meme-related pun with Selena will get you some extra points at the water cooler.
Depends who you're talking to. I don't know if it'll work with me, but go on.
Come on, everyone loves a pun. Olivia Rodrigo has had a stage malfunction.
A stage malfunction?
But it was a purposeful stage malfunction. So it wasn't a Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson situation.
Okay.
Quite the opposite. Or maybe it depends who you're asking about that, actually, if it was on purpose or not.
Mm.
But so it appeared that something was really drastically going wrong and a security guard ushered her off stage. But okay. It was all part of the choreography.
That security guard was a dancer.
Yes.
Oh, actually, I haven't seen the performance. That's incredible.
Not a dancer, but it was someone that knew, hey, my part is. Yeah, exactly.
So what was the bit?
It was to change the kind of set.
Oh.
Yeah. And also Vampire. So Olivia Rodrigo, a little bit of backstory in that video clip. There is like a similar kind of vibe with like things kind of.
Yeah, lots
going,
of security guards.
Things going to arrest awry, vampires. Basically. And so she's mirrored her video and then changed to the next song because she did two songs.
Okay.
And finally, now this one is the one where you can really kind of dive into some heavier, deeper conversation because you can kind of debate where you sit on this whole situation. Megan Thee Stallion, Justin Timberlake have reportedly had a big tiff backstage.
Oh, I did see video of this.
Yes. Yeah, so there is video. Bear in mind, though, the camps, like the PR people for Justin and Megan, have said there was no beef.
Mm.
This was not a thing. But when you see the video, it looks like a thing.
Yeah, you'll probably see this floating around online the next couple of days, but it's like Justin walks past and she starts
and says something,
pointing a finger at her, and then it looks aggressive.
Yes. And then Justin does look very uncomfortable after it. Like, it's not like it didn't seem like she was, you know, animatedly saying, hey, your performance was so good with NSYNC. It seemed like, yeah, negative.
Seems negative.
Yeah. But that's something that you can debate with your colleagues today. So there you go. There's your VMA wrap up.
Megan Thee Stallion. Good on her. Good on her for being expressive.
Yes.
So far as water cooler chat is concerned,
yeah.
I haven't needed it.
Well, because you're here with me. We're doing it right now.
I suppose that you've, and to your credit, you have filled me in.
Yes.
So I do feel up to date. Thank you for that.
If you want some tips and tricks about getting a second date, being a good date, and just, you know, maybe getting a little luckier in your love life,
mm-hmm.
I've got some advice. A very popular dating website has done a survey of its users here in Australia, and it's all about phone use.
Okay.
So there's a new term that has been coined, which is like a dating faux pas. It's called fubbing.
Sorry? Do I need to censor that? What are you saying?
Fubbing.
Oh, fubbing.
Yeah. P-H-U-B-B-I-N-G. Fubbing.
Ah, yeah.
So it's a combination of phone and snubbing.
Okay.
Fubbing.
Phone snubbing. What is it specifically?
Essentially, it's when you're on a date and you use your phone in any way. So it could be you have your phone face up on the table and you constantly glance at it.
Yeah, if you see the screen light up, maybe you didn't turn it on silent and you're getting, you know, message tones and it's like, mate, come on.
Exactly.
What are we doing here?
I mean, also, who has their phone on now these days? But anyway.
That's so true. Mine is perpetually on silent.
Yeah, like I've got a vibrate, but I'm not hearing that. Certainly not. That would definitely, I would almost leave the date if that was happening.
Mate's using his ears? How embarrassing.
But 75% of these daters have reported that they're more hesitant to open up to a person on a date if that person has used their phone during the date.
Yeah, I would agree.
So not only, obviously, if you're on your phone, you're distracted, right? People then read that and they go, well, I'm not going to tell you an important part of my life or who I am because you might get distracted and miss it, or it looks like you don't care,
yeah,
right?
If you're there, you know, maybe you're liking photos on Instagram or you're messaging someone else and I'm trying to tell you about, you know, the relationship that I have with my estranged mother.
Yes, exactly.
I should say personally, my mother is not estranged. Just on the off chance mum is listening right now.
Yeah.
She might be estranged now, actually, as I say that. But yeah, absolutely. You wouldn't want to open up. 100% understand
that. Yes. The other thing that has been found is 78% of us Aussies on these dating apps, they assume that their date isn't interested in them at all if they're using their phone.
Yeah, I would assume that it's a sign of boredom because that's what it is. Because like even on, like for example, when we're talking off air, when I'm sick of what you're saying, I'll just go on my phone, which is most breaks.
Yeah, totally.
Most I had to my songs.
I don't think it is charming when you're mean to me. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I agree.
And here's the thing though, right? Because we're so addicted to our phones.
Yeah.
You know, we've been watching school kids on the way to high school this morning.
Yeah, walking past the station.
And I've been getting up in arms about the fact that none of them look up from their phones. So I feel like it's a generational thing. We're kind of like addicted to our phones. So in some cases, the person might actually be interested in you, but they just literally can't, you know, be away from their phone for that long.
How's this for a date move?
Mm-hmm.
Before you go on a date, get your phone.
Yep.
And put it in a Ziploc bag.
Yes.
Tie it to a rock.
Yes.
Put it in a pond.
Great.
Then, I mean, good luck, I guess, figuring out how to get it back. But at the very least, the date's going to be like, he's really interested in me.
I don't think we necessarily need to go to those lengths, but I certainly do think if you're on a date and you want to potentially get a second or third date, put your phone down.
Yeah, put your phone down and then just hope to God that you're actually a good person.
Yes.
Outside of that.
Yes.
Because I don't go on my phone, but I've definitely been denied second and third dates for
other reasons.
Well, as we heard before, you know, the being mean isn't charming thing, is it? Nick
and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast. Know someone who would make a great disability support worker? Employ them through Carer Solutions.